Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Lefties Lounge podcast.
By the end of Saturday, it was we need to take out the young kid. We need to take out the lefties. Yeah.
Then I was like, you know what? Fuck. I would love to throw my club in the fucking water.
I can't even tell them that I have a podcast, which is terrible for the podcast brand, but I'm about to light these guys up.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a very special edition of the Lefties Lounge. I'm Ron Newkirk, as always, with me, Mr. John Krafik. What's up, man?
What's going on?
Nothing, man. This is a ginormous week for the podcast. Huge week for a newcomer like yourself. It is Connecticut Masters week, dude. How do you feel? Like, what? I could feel the excitement already.
Yeah, the energy's high. The group text has been popping. It's been good. We rattled off a bunch of interviews with every one of the contestants or every one of the competitors.
Yeah,
it's starting to feel real. I'm pumped to actually get to play in it this year. So
it is. Before we get into anything really big, too, we have kind of a big announcement, too. This episode that you're listening to right now is brought to you by B&B Golf Covers. These guys make absolutely electric putter and driver covers. They're designed to give your golf bag your own style and personality. Designed and created by two college kids who love the game of golf and pursued this great idea of providing golfers with trendy, stylish head covers for your driver or putter. I personally got the I'm So Clutch mallet head cover because I am so clutch, in fact. I know you got the Hustle and Dough. There's a bunch on there. Check out the IG. And go check them out at bnbgolf.com. That's bandbgolf.com. And follow them on Instagram at bnbgolfcovers. And for our listeners, we have a promo code. It's lefty15 to get 15% off. Just type that into the promo code and check these head covers off.
Yeah, it's amazing, dude. Those, we just got ours in, and they are quality at a great price point. So with the promo code, go check them out. They're sick.
That's it, man. They're great. So let's talk about our weekends before we get into anything major. The excitement, like it's Tuesday before the Masters, and I haven't felt this in a long time. Because we skipped April, obviously. Nobody's doing anything. And now we're getting into this. So, like, I'm starting to get nervous. I'm starting to take my nervous poops already. It's Tuesday. And, it's scary that it's happening so soon. But just with everything going on, we're going to be streaming out a ton of content. And, it's just crazy. But what, did you golf this weekend?
I played Sunday. I went up to New Hampshire with Nate. Nate, actually, well, what did we play? Forget the name, of course. Oh, Loudoun Country Club. Decent little ride, but really good time. Had a bunch of fun. Nate, I have to shout out Nate. I couldn't even think of the country club because all I could think about was Nate had 36 putts.
What?
Which for Nate is like, I mean, Nate's a 30-plus handicapper. And
for anybody, that's good, man. That's two putts.
He had 7-1 putts.
Whoa.
Right?
He had 7-1 putts and he still had 36 putts?
All right, so I kind of...
Come on, Nate.
I threw him under the bus there.
Yeah, you definitely did. That's like saying I shot an 80 or a 79 with 6 birdies. Like,
yeah, that's true.
But hey, that's Nate, awesome, though.
No, he was playing well. It was a fun track.
That's crazy.
I know. Awesome. I only say that because he beat me by one, which is... absolutely terrible, but
putting wise, not score wise.
Yeah, putting.
Okay, I was gonna say he went that low, and you're talking about putts.
Cool track. It was one of those tracks where I hit the ball really well and ended up out of bounds because I just didn't know it. Like I literally didn't know there was like a pond here. Or there was. So I ended up losing like 5 balls. Shot 88, which was it was fine. I'm very happy with the way I'm swinging, so I'm not too worried about it.
New courses, you can't really be too critical.
Yeah.
We know the way you're playing.
It was a fun round though, but you played at Candy, right?
Yeah, I played, haven't played Candlewood in a minute. It was the last tournament for the league. And every start and finish, they do an ABCD tournament, and it's a shamble. So obviously you take an A player, a B player, C player, D player. You get paired with these guys. I ended up playing with Ken Knipple, Carl Knipple's dad, and didn't know it the whole round. And he got at me. He's like, "Oh, nice win. Did you know it was my—" – like, I didn't even look at the last names or anything, and had a blast. He played so well. He was our D player, I believe, his C or D. But either way, he was fucking nails from our drives.
Wait. Was he the guy that you were calling the wrong name the whole round?
No, that was a different guy. That was our A player. So, yeah, I had gotten through 9 solid holes of strictly calling this gentleman Don, okay? Like, good shot, Don. Oh, man, you almost had that, Don. Nice chip, Don. Like, I would end everything I said to him with Don until Ken Knipple says, "Hey, man, is your name Dan or Don?" And he just goes, "Dan." And I was like, huh. Oh, un-fucking believable, man. I felt like such an asshole.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but as far as playing, it was a shamble. So I don't know if it was just not having to be confident off the tee or not having to worry about being, you know,
no pressure.
Good off the tee. There was no pressure. I shot really well. My irons were fire. We used 10 of my drives or 10 of my tee balls, a couple on par threes. So I felt good overall, but you can't, I can't judge off of that. You know, it's the same thing as you playing at a new course. Kind of, I know I was striking the ball well and putting well. So
that's all that matters. I mean, you're not the A player and you use 10 of your drives, obviously.
Yeah.
And you're hitting the ball well. So. You're still playing out from the drive, so you're playing a regular hole.
Yeah, exactly. So it was cool. Because you know, when we did use the other guys' drives, we were a lot farther back than where I would be too. So like playing from their distances too, like on I think 5, we didn't use mine and we were like 195 out, and like that's far.
Yeah.
Like usually I can be 195 out with a 4-iron, but they hit a decent drive and I try and go for it with a driver. It's a different style of play. So can't really judge it, but I know I was striking it well and I'm feeling pretty good going into this prestigious week. So, before we get into all that Connecticut Masters stuff, there's a couple pro things that we wanted to touch on. Jason Kokrak won his first PGA Tour event, and I think 200 and something starts, like 243 or some shit like that.
Really high number.
Yeah, he's really been grinding on tour for a long time. A few top fives, top tens, and for him to finally get that, he's got to be feeling pretty good going into the Masters too, because I think he's qualified already for this year's Master because of he might be in the top 50 or something like that.
Yeah.
Course, you might want to fact check me on that because I'm not exactly sure. But if he is playing, he's got to feel pretty confident. And then you want to talk about the lefties?
Yeah, first off, that Shadow Creek, that course is pure. Oh, my
God. Spieth said it was better than Augusta.
Yeah, there were some crazy talk coming out of players and caddies. They ended up going super low there. Like, he won at 20 under. But, yeah, shout out Phil. 2 for 2 on the Champions Tour, which is just crazy. We had 2 lefties in the top 10. Mike Weir made a little run at it, battled. I think he finished like T5. But yeah, dude, Phil's 2 for 2. Like, he's just too long for the Champions Tour.
You see all the memes of him and like Bernhard Langer. There's one that Phil is pushing Bernhard Langer in a wheelchair.
Oh my
god.
There's a quote
from Langer, and it just says, "I used to win on the Champions Tour all the time," and Phil just says, "Yeah, we know, Bernhard." There's a couple of good ones out there if you got to check them out.
So it's hard to take anything from the Champions Tour, but maybe he'll come into some sort of form coming into Augusta. So I'd love to see him be relevant in a major. Like, it's been obviously.
Yeah, here's my take on the Champions Tour. there's a fine, it's like when you get into like the difference between a 12-year-old and a 13-year-old, like when kids like go through a growth spurt, it's like that, but like Benjamin Button kind of shit. Like
big field,
a
little
50-year-old against a 60-year-old. There's nobody that's going to compete with Phil at that length, except for like Steve Stricker and Furyk and like the younger guys coming in there. So if they're not in the field, then there's not a chance. If he doesn't win, he's just going to look like an idiot, really.
Yeah. I mean, he's literally played two tournaments, won twice.
Yeah. I mean, this one, he kind of fought back. Like, he wasn't in the lead on Sunday, and he had to actually, you know, I forget who was second place or whatever, but he kind of lost it. He lost it. And I feel like Phil was kind of, it wasn't Langer?
Probably.
That's the only guy you know on the Champions Tour, probably.
No, Mike Weir and Jim Furyk.
Come on, man.
No, I know more of them.
Yeah, Kenny Perry. There's a couple guys, but I think now, I mean, I'm so excited to talk about the Masters and just this whole weekend. Like, how are you? I'm going to ask you this. Like, I know you've probably heard about the Masters the most from me. How are you feeling, like, just being a part of it? Like, are you excited? Like, do you know, like, or is it going to take maybe like a week? Is it going to take this year to get you like more excited for next year? Well, I don't know how you newcomers are feeling.
Like you said, it's a little different for me because this obviously, like, just the backstory, this is your baby. Like, this is your guys' tournament. Your four closest group of friends. You know, you guys start this thing 4 years ago. And then year two, we had talked about potentially like getting, like, you trying to get another foursome in.
So let's start. I'll just give a quick little rundown of what happened and then we'll get into that question. Just for the people that don't really know what this is.
Yeah. Good call.
You could listen to the pilot. There's a lot more. This was a long time ago when I started this and it was literally in my work truck. But this whole thing started basically just as something to get together every year and have for bragging rights. And it's basically our major. It was before we really got into any golf related thing. Like I think I might've been in the league for 1 year, none of those guys were in yet. So we decided to do a 2-day tournament. The first year it was kind of weird. The scoring wise, we did, it was just so weird. Like, everybody played matches with everybody. So like, you had six holes with a certain, and there was like points. It's hard to even explain. It was just so weird. And I had it won by Sunday after the first match. So right after that, we decided to just go stroke play.
Real quick, why did you guys decide that format? Was it because you didn't know anything about like golf and you were trying to make it like competitive? Because like, what was the biggest reason to do it like
the
that?
Biggest thing was nobody had a handicap.
Okay.
That was our problem. We knew that back then Dave could hit every tree that he wasn't aiming for. Brett was decent. He just played like me. So we just gave him that handicap, and Hammy has been carrying a handicap for probably 22 years because his dad's at his country club.
Okay.
So, So we wanted to make it competitive because it is hard when you have such a high handicapper, and you know, the level of play was just so different. Yeah. So we didn't want to get screwed. They didn't want to get screwed. That ended up being Dave's first and only second place victory. He rode my coattails right to a second place. And now, I mean, 5 years later, there's a good chance that he might be in the top two or three of the power rankings, but we're going to get to that. So the second year, I had initially, I think there was five guys in the text. It was me, Dave, Brett and Hammy and Mark. Mark ended up having a kid like on mat like 2 weeks before Masters or something like that, and it just wasn't going to work out, so he kind of got screwed. But we were all in the group text, and it just kind of evolved into a 2-day tournament where we'll do this, we'll go back and watch the Masters. Like, it was just going to be a cool weekend to celebrate the Masters. I had initially always wanted to expand we get into the second year and we're going to stroke play, which we gave Dave like the highest handicap. And then we just did the same thing. Brett played as the same as me, and then Hammy had his. So we went into stroke play, and initially I had always wanted there to be at least another group, because to me, like, a four-man tournament isn't really – I mean, it's just four guys going out and playing for 2 days.
Yeah.
Not a bad thing, but that's – like, we wanted it to be personal too, and we wanted people to come back every year. So that was kind of a struggle to find guys with handicaps and stuff like that. So I kind of got shot down the second year, didn't even really try. Third year, kind of the same thing. Third year, we actually invited people. And then it was you, Shaw, Mark, and our cousin, Brett's sisters, my cousin, Wendy's soon-to-be husband, Zach. And I just went ahead and invited you guys. And it ended up not working out, so we had to fold that one too. But now, like, it's grown into such a cool thing for us. Like, as lame as I thought the four people would be, even with that four people, like, we started to do like tea gifts. Like, the second year, I think I made I gave everybody a sleeve of balls, and I drew a logo that turns out to be like our actual logo now on the balls, and I put our number in it. Dave made this sick, he paints cars, and he painted this friggin' beer bottle as our trophy. He did that, and then he painted cups. This year, I know Hammy's got a little surprise for everybody. It's not so much a surprise anymore, but it's those little chips, and they have the Connecticut Masters logo on it. Like, so it's turned into like a real deal for us. Like, we walk around and we actually think, I mean, we got jackets from Goodwill. I mean, we're real time. And now that we have another foursome, it's the excitement is even more amped up. Like, I couldn't be more excited for this, because it's not just trying to beat Brett, it's trying to beat everybody else too. And I think, I don't know, I'm excited to talk about everything with you, because you have like an inside stuff. We've done so much work to get to this point. So, I mean, what do you want to get into first? That's pretty good breakdown of how it started. So how do you feel? Now we get back to your question, or my original question. How does it feel going into this tournament? Like, hard to get as excited as us, but there's got to be some level of excitement.
Yeah. And to expand on what you're saying, like, it's so cool, because obviously it's for bragging rights. You guys have like created this whole thing, and it was the reason that the podcast started too. Like, the whole idea of the
podcast, that's such a good point.
The whole idea of the podcast originally was for you to like almost like capture each year by year with, you know, content that you can go back and look on, you know.
Yeah. I probably would have been okay with just doing one podcast a year just with those guys, and like,
just for the Masters.
Yeah. And then it just started. Yeah. It's cool how it started, and it's gotten us here. And I mean, Connecticut Masters, yeah. What is it? Brought to you by the Lefties Lounge, or what did he put on the scorecards?
Yeah. Presented by the Lefties.
Presented by the Lefties Lounge. Like, to have that, like, it's real special to me. Like, I'm super excited about the whole thing.
Oh yeah. And to see like how far this tournament's come just from afar, like from when you guys started it 5 years ago to, like, I mean, we're making like a legit YouTube video. We have power rankings. We have like, you know, it's like you said, it's awesome. But so from my perspective, so to give people a little insight. So when we first started playing golf, the only tournament that we really played in, this was like 4 or 5 years ago, was the member guest. Like, we weren't playing competitive golf. And you, the only thing I remember competitive golf wise is you always talking about the Masters.
Well, it's funny, because you would have Shawnee, and I would have the Masters, and then we would talk about it, because you would, before I started going to Shawnee,
that's right,
you would be like, oh, this tournament, and that tournament was sick. Like,
but like, you, it's so funny, because like, you obviously, you were very serious when you were playing, and like, the year 2, 3, and 4, like the years that you didn't win it, like, it was like, it's obvious how much it means to you. So,
like, I can't really even talk about that shit.
Yeah. So, So obviously I know, like, and knowing all the other guys, like, I know how into it they are, which is definitely exciting. And you guys keep talking about, like, the Masters pressure. but I mean, I'm so pumped up. Like, it's, I can't even explain to you since the member guest how much I have been salivating for competition. Like, I can't even, like, my focus hasn't been the same since that, like, the big dog shootout. Like, I'm craving that, like, zone of just dialing in.
And the cool thing about this is, you know, the member guest, we have each other to lean on. Shawnee, we have three other people to lean on. This one, you either got to put up or shut up. This is, you know, you can play as much golf as you want. You could practice, you could do whatever, but you got to show up for 2 whole days. And we haven't played that much golf. I mean, 36 holes in a weekend competitively like that since the member guest, I don't think.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, like when you look at this group of guys too, how many of them play 36 holes consecutively on a weekend out of the year, like once or twice?
Maybe even just playing like in tournaments and stuff, but like actually like focusing and like keeping in for 36 is,
I mean, you know, how Shawnee is like, God.
And that's just playing. Like, you don't even have to think really. You're just out there swinging, you know. Somebody's going to pick you up if you don't play well. So.
No, so there's definitely, I love that it's a different format. And like what you're saying, where it's just individual. And there's so many storylines. There's so many
angles. This is our major.
Yeah, and
it's so amazing.
It's bragging rights.
The fact that it's in October too changes a lot, I think. Usually we're playing in April, so it's soggy, it's cold, so we're kind of going to get the same conditions roughly, I would think. But actually, I mean, Saturday's going to be 70 degrees. It
looks pretty good right now.
It's going to be different. The only thing we're really battling is the leaves. I mean, it's
– Well, and the fact that generally when this is played in April, like you guys, how many rounds have you played before that? A couple rounds?
Now I think that's the biggest change, yeah, because –
That's the biggest thing. Like people are in like form, essentially.
Yeah. So this, I mean, some people.
The most competitive.
It could be, yeah. It could be. And who knows? Maybe it'll stay in October forever if everybody just starts firing.
Yeah, right.
What if the actual Masters stays too? They love it so much in the fall that they just keep it there.
The leaves on TV just hit different.
it would be wild. So let's just get into – I know we touched on it a little bit, but how are you feeling game-wise? Like, I know you've been working pretty hard.
Yeah, it's definitely been a journey this year. I've gone through a bunch of different thought processes and a bunch of different bullshit, but the swing feels really good. This is the best I've ever felt swinging, as far as just like thought process, just simplifying everything. Like really, just I'm just trying to go play golf now. In our newfound love for a podcast that will go unnamed. There's a quote that, what do they say? They said, somebody said, go play golf, don't play the golf swing. So I'm just trying to go, just going to play golf right now.
Yeah.
And it's been fun. Game's in a pretty good place. I haven't scored though. That's the problem, is I'm putting like shit.
That's great.
Which, yeah, it's a pretty good nice going into a 2-day tournament, but I shouldn't say that. It's trending better. It was bad. It's specifically just speed. I have zero feel. I've never had like with this Scotty. It's so bouncy. It's so pure, like off the face, that I'm hitting it exactly where I want to. I just have zero feel and everything's hard. Yeah.
That's rough. I mean, part of that is probably playing different courses all the time too. It's tough to get a feel for greens when you're first there. I feel like maybe at Candlewood and Fairview, like Fairview and Candlewood are so different, because for the people that don't know, we play Fairview on Saturday and then Candlewood on Sunday. Fairview's up in Harwinton, Connecticut. Candlewood's obviously our home course. Two completely different courses, two completely different green complexes, and maybe because you know them a little bit better, you'll start stroking. I don't know.
Yeah, that's actually a good point too, because I played Fairview like 3 weeks ago, and I actually did putt really well there.
Would you shoot that round?
I shot 85.
I finally got it out of you.
I shot 85 with a
nine on two or something.
A nine on two. I got to tell this story. Maybe I told it in that last podcast, but I almost killed Dan. I hit a tree. So it went 180 miles an hour backwards. It went. Yeah. So I hit a tee shot off a tree, and then it was in those trees. And then I had to hit two more shots that ended up probably a total of 100 yards behind me again. So that was fun.
So funny. And what is your handicap now that you're going? It's 11?
11, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So going into the – I mean, it should be interesting going into the Masters. Me personally, I don't know where my game's at. I don't know. I've been playing sporadically, I think, three rounds in a month and a half. So it's a little less than I was when it was a little more consistent in the league and stuff like that. Couple round like ledges, I shot like a 97. I think I shot a 94 at Candlewood before that. I don't know. I'm up and down. I played so well on Sunday. But again, you know, I touched on that and I can't really judge off that. I know that I was striking the ball well and putting well. So I'm coming in as what I've been for the past 5 years, a 12.7, just a stagnant 13, I call it. And if I play well, I'm going to win. And if I don't, I'm probably going to come in the top four. That's what I'm guessing.
We're going to hear soon in some interviews, but that's some people's that's some people's goals for the weekend. So that's not a
terrible, terrible. That's I can walk out of there with a top four and probably be okay just because we've accomplished so much this year. But I know that during the rounds that I'm going to be a bulldog and compete like I always do. And yeah, my mindset's going to be there, and I hope my game can follow, because I'm going to fire down some birdies, I think.
So the tee times and pairings have come out. You're matched with the three-time champion. You're essentially arch nemesis, Brett Thompson. Yeah. You guys are in the same cart on Saturday. Do you have like a mindset going into that? And do you have a number?
I don't have a number. I'd like to go out there and birdie the first hole. Ooh. And then just not say a word to him until the second hole. And I'd like to try and birdie the second hole and then just not say another word until. So me and Brett have a funny relationship. Both of us are very, very competitive when it comes to golf against each other. It doesn't matter when we play, we each know exactly how many strokes we have on each other at all times, no matter what. So I know we're going to keep it light for Saturday, and it's nice to have that comfy pairing, but I know that both of us are going to want to just grind and beat each other. Last year I had a 6-stroke lead on him. So no lead is safe. I've learned that. So the goal is to get probably 10 strokes ahead of him, and then I might be able to feel comfortable. Even then, it's still going to be up in the air. So I know if I play with him, if we both just play our games and we play with him, we'll probably be playing together on Sunday too, the way things fall out. But it's nerve-wracking with the eight people, I'll tell you that, because there's a lot of wild cards, a lot of scenarios that could happen. Yeah. The high handicappers scare me.
So now going from four guys to eight guys, like you can lose it on Saturday.
Yeah, for sure. Four guys, you're always kind of in it with four guys, like unless you're hammy that second year, third year. That was the only real scenario. It's always been close. I think last year was a pretty big, like from first to last was a pretty big stroke advantage that I had. because I don't like to talk about it. I had a 6-stroke lead on him, and then he was giving me another stroke on Sunday. So it was actually a 7-stroke lead that I gave up. Yeah, it's just horrible to think about. And I don't – this is supposed to be a positive podcast this week.
No, this has gone really well. So let's
– And we're going – yeah, it's going really well. There's a ton of different scenarios and storylines, and it's just –
Who are you most worried about?
Who am I most worried about?
I mean, it has to
honestly, be. No. Honestly, I've said this. I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Dave is who I'm always most worried about with his handicap, because I've seen him go on runs and where he is just lights out. And if he makes a couple runs like that and can limit his big blow up holes, which he's learning how to, there's a good chance that he could win this year.
Yeah, I agree. He's going to be, yeah, well, we're going to get to him in our power rankings.
Exactly. And obviously you and Brett, like Brett is, I want to beat him every time. And you've been playing a lot of golf. So you are the two that if I can beat you gross, if I can beat both of you gross, I'm going to be in a good position because you're giving me strokes. So that's kind of where my head's at. If I can just stay with you guys and then hopefully Dave just goes over the bridge. that's kind of where I'm at. What about you?
As far as like most worried about, I think it's Dave too, to be honest. I mean, it's between Dave and Brett, like they're the clear cut one and two, I think. Just based on the numbers, even when you go back and look at like the last three rounds, they would have either one of them would have won each of the three. So the Dave with the stroke scares me the most for sure. Least worried about probably Hammy.
I can't wait till everybody hears you. Yeah, I can't wait till everybody hears those interviews because that's apparent. His confidence is at an all time low. I know he played well in the Shamble, but his scores and his just general attitude towards golf has been very unsettling.
It's been sour.
Yeah, sour, stagnant, just plain bad. So I guess it's really up. It's between him and Shaw, who I'm really least worried about. Shaw hasn't played in a month, and his past three scores before that were in the 90s. So those two are definitely not on my radar at all. So everybody else is kind of has a possible chance. And honestly, everybody has a chance. Hammy could go out there and shoot 80s and so could Shaw. So
as the veteran, and you guys talked about Masters pressure, what's that first tee shot going to look like? How many people, how real is the Masters pressure?
So in the interviews, Brett says something that really stuck with me. And he says the Masters pressure is what you make it. So the mentally strong will be okay. And the Frankies of the world might duff one off the tee.
that's what I was getting at was the tee ball. Stop
it. I think Brett is going to do all the announcing. So we are going to announce the players at going up. Like it's going to be pretty sick. So definitely group one is going to have some more pressure because the following four guys are going to be watching. So
I love it. I get first too. I get to go first.
Yeah. How are you feeling then? The first tee ball of the 2020 Masters field of eight and you're hitting it.
I cannot wait. I'm still up in the air. I've gone back and forth between three wood and driver. I might let the board pick what they want to see. Hit off the first tee box, but
whichever you're gonna pull into the right woods.
No pulls.
pulls. Yeah.
Okay. There's been a lot of talk about our group driving the green, so I feel some pressure of doing that.
Yeah. Well, then driver it is, sir.
Yeah. No, but I'm just like you said. Brett's quote was perfect. He also has a quote in there too that I want to highlight that is like perfect for people who don't understand how serious we take this. Brett was like, I think he said, this is our one weekend out of the years to act like professionals or to be professional, to pretend we're pros.
Yeah. And it's so true because like, I mean, Friday night when we're cleaning clubs. I don't know how many people are coming over, but we're going to be cleaning clubs and shit. And me and Brett are going to be wearing the fucking coats and nobody else is. And we're going to stand over there and be like, look at these peasants. It's like we are. I mean, it's so much fun. And I'm glad it's gotten to where it is. Excited to see where it's going to go.
Yes.
So you want to get into some.
Let's unveil our power ranking. So pretty much what we're about to do is we've taken a look at the field. We have everybody's handicaps, their last three scores. And then we're pretty much just going to give our opinions on how we think the weekend's going to go. So the easiest way to do this, and the guys don't know about this yet, so this is going to be news to them. What we did was we interviewed all them. We pretty much talked about like some of the same stuff that we just talked about. You know, where's our game at? You know, who we're worried about, which course we like, whatever. And then we are going to release the interviews in order of the power rankings. So we're going to – let's just release the power rankings right now with our number one.
Yeah.
Our number
so
one.
These power rankings were based off the interviews that we gathered. We took their last three scores and their handicap now and then just general knowledge of their game. So we're going to go through a little bit of why they're there. Just a little snip on everybody, but first in the power rankings going into the 2020 Connecticut Masters is the champ, Mr. Brett Thompson. Good for you, dude. I'm not happy to say it, but you got to give respect where respect's due. Three-time Masters champ, reigning champ, defending champ. Like, you got to give it to him. He's grinded for a single-digit handicap, and I'm proud of him that he's kept it under there. And he's still winning tournaments, too. Like, he had a disappointing 81 the other day. So that tells you how good he's playing.
Yeah, obviously well-deserving. Three-time champion, lowest handicap in the field at 9-1 right now. And that's like you said, he's just consistently in the low 80s. And so it's going to be interesting to see with the extended field if that changes up anything. Maybe he gets a little more pressure. I don't know.
I don't know if it does. Brett's he doesn't let that shit really bother him. The only person that's going to beat Brett is himself. If he gets really down on himself, I've seen him where he does that occasionally. So it could happen. If his putter gets hot,
some sort of driver trouble, though.
He said that he's having a little bit of a driver problem that could eat away at him. But the biggest thing, and I've always said it with Brett, is that his distance is just such an X factor, because he's hit, like, where we're hitting, you know, a 5-iron or 4-iron around 200. He could hit his 7-iron 200 or 150. Like, those stupid graphite clubs that he uses, he knows how to hit them so well for some reason. And literally, he can amp up a 7-iron or dial back a 7-iron and hit it 150. Like, he's got a lot of tools in the bag, and if that putter gets hot, everybody's going to be in some trouble, I think. Yeah, so, number one. Yeah, for sure. You want to take number two?
Yeah, so number two is going to be Dave Lyons. We talked about it. So, obviously, Brett's got a tall task ahead of him because he's given strokes to everybody in the field. But this guy, bringing up the rear of the field, 27 handicap, he's got probably the best shot out of anybody to win it. Obviously, respect to Brett with the three-time reigning champ. But just numbers-wise, I mean, it's only going to take one good round, which we know he has in him, to just really put up a big lead.
Yeah, he's shot in the 90s a couple times this year. He does that this weekend. He's going to be in good shape. Anything could happen at Candlewood with Dave. He plays it a lot, and that's kind of what we've always banked on. He's had a good few Saturdays here and there, but we've always relied on Candlewood's trees to help us, and they have done it. Last year, he was in the lead by 2 strokes going into the last nine, the back nine. Fucking have a golf podcast, and I just said the last nine. But the back nine, I don't know, man. He's a force to be reckoned with. I've seen him just absolutely annihilate a 5 or 6 hole stretch. Another thing is he's fucking playing Fairview on Thursday with Shaw. So that's huge. Yeah. And like I said, he's won every tournament that he's played this year, this past like season. He's won. He's a club champion, the league champion, or past league champion. So he's definitely a threat.
We didn't talk about this, but I am actually playing with Dave.
Yes, you are.
I'm going to be paired up in the cart with on Saturday at Fairview. We have never played together.
Right.
So it's going to be fun. I mean, I don't really know his game, to be honest.
He did say that he's going to amp up the trash talking. What do you think about that?
I mean, you're going to trash talk when you go 6 for 5 if I make a bogey?
He does. That's how I just like shoo him away. Yeah. He'll just be like, oh, that was a 5 for 3. I was like, sweet handicap.
Yeah.
Like sweet bogey, man. And
I'm going to be so in my own world. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, no. Going to be fun though. So Dave Lyon at number 2. Next up, we have a friend of the pod, a guy who's played countless rounds and countless range sessions. He's chasing speed, will not cut his hair, and refuses to look into a computer without blue light glasses. And this is our very own Mr. John Graphic at number 3.
Yo, why can't I get an intro to the pod like that? That was electric.
Oh my God. Yeah. There's countless reasons why you're there. You've played a lot of golf. Everything's repeatable for you, it seems like. You can tell that you have a different confidence and that you really are – you've been taking your game very seriously and making changes, and that's what it takes to get there. So you are definitely on everybody's radar, I think, representing the lefties. You have also won the Candlewood member guest. Yeah, and you've shot in the 70s a lot too. So,
yeah, it's going to be a tall task, like we said, because of the strokes. I mean, you got to put two good fucking rounds together. Like,
yeah.
You're going to have to shoot 82 or under for two back-to-back days at least.
Probably.
Most likely, if history repeats itself and the winner is around 1 or 2 under, you know.
Right.
To 3 under.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I've definitely never felt better. Like, even the confidence that I have going into this round than I did going into the Candlewood member guest, like I feel way better about my swing than I did at the Candlewood member guest, which is
scary.
Yeah. Like I honestly lost, you know, cause I lost it for a little bit on Sunday.
Barely.
On Sunday, I lost it for like 5 or 6 strokes and I like had to go back to the real beginnings. And that is actually what sparked some forward progress in the whole swing. So
yeah.
We won't get too deep, you know?
No, I don't want to get too deep. We don't need to.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be, I think it's going to be harder for me and Brett specifically. I think like you are at the line where it's way more realistic where like you have a little more leeway as far as like stroke wise for like from you to the back of the field. But I mean, obviously, you want good golf to win a tournament anyway. So you just got to play good golf.
And it's going to the way it is. Stroke play. Whoever wins is going to have to play 2 good days of golf, and that's
exactly
what it is. Like, yeah. It doesn't matter how you think about it. It doesn't matter that Dave's a 26 or whatever he is, and Brett's a 9. The handicap is what the handicap is, and it's for a reason.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to have to play well for them on Saturday and Sunday. That's a very
good point too. And kind of going back to how the Masters originally started, where you guys didn't have like a handicap system, essentially you didn't have anything to go off of. Like we know now with like this group, it's all legit. So like you said, whoever wins this is, they're going to play good golf, which is exciting. Which brings us to your next golfer. God damn, I got to go off the rip.
I did.
That was like way too impressive. But you do this for a living, though. You're the intro guy.
Yeah, you're right.
So coming in at number 4 is Ronnie.
Sick, dude.
So, I mean, the commissioner himself, he holds the biggest seat on the board potentially, or so he tells himself.
Just man, ask.
The man who made the extension happen, so obviously our gratitude to you as the newcomers, but obviously somebody with a ton of Masters experience. He does own a jacket. He has potentially had some heartbreaking losses recently, but coming off a CMG Cup, where are you at? Where do you feel like your game's at? And how you fall into this order?
Like I said, I think I'm going to compete. I always say that. If you doubt yourself, you're probably not going to do very well. Mentally, I think that I can be in it. And the biggest thing that I'm going to do is the same thing at the member guest and grind my balls off. Bad shots aren't going to make me press. They're not going to make me try and hit shots that I shouldn't. I'm just going to try and get the ball in the hole. And that's it. And yeah, I'm right in the middle of the field, both in the power rankings and in the handicap. So I'm in a good position. I feel comfortable. I'm getting a ton of strokes off Brett, two off of you. Yeah, I think I got a good shot.
So my opinion, personally, I don't think you have a shot. No, I'm just kidding.
That's perfect, so, then. Because what I have to say to you is doubt me.
So where I see you, I think you're comfortably in the correct power ranking spot. I think that's a good for where you are as far, like you said, I mean, you haven't played a lot. I think the biggest thing for you is going to be you have to put 36 holes together, and you haven't played 36 holes consecutively in a week in like months.
Yeah.
So it's going to be your swing is going to most likely go per se at like some point. It's how, you know, how quick do you come back, you know?
Exactly.
So, I don't know. I mean, I feel like you roll it well. So you give yourself a chance, and obviously, you know, I don't think like pressure wise, you should be fine. I don't know. It's going to be, the only thing is, I think it's interesting with you playing with Brett on Saturday, seeing.
Yeah, me too.
Because the only thing I would worry about you is if you don't get off to a hot start, you thinking about it too much.
Yeah. And that's why I said, like, the biggest thing for me is just going to be able to, like I've said in the past, just take one shot every, like, the only shot that I'm thinking about is the next shot. Like, literally. Yeah. I can't press. We've talked about that before. When I press, it doesn't work. So I'm just going to let it happen.
Yeah, for sure. I think what we got you. So that's rounding out four. So number five, yep. Number five.
We haven't played with this guy yet. He's potentially one of the biggest head cases that we've ever seen in the Connecticut Masters. And that says a ton. His job in the lefties lounge could quite possibly be on the line. Judging on his first tee shot.
Whoa, the amount of.
I am kidding. I'm totally kidding. Number five, Frankie O'Brien, the newcomer. Okay.
Newcomer.
We literally don't know anything about his game besides what we've talked about. We don't know what his swing looks like. We know that he might possibly wear joggers, which is very, it's disgusting to me. If he does, but I can't judge his style. I can't do anything like that.
And on the fashion real quick, just let it be known that he did copy me with the shoes that he just recently.
You didn't purchase them after he said.
Nope, he did not tell me about these fire pairs of shoes that your guys are going to see.
This isn't fair because he's not here, but yeah, you definitely copied him. We don't know anything. He knows a couple of us. He's got a comfy pairing. Based on his last scores and where he is, the fifth spot is it could have been either him or Mark here. We have Mark coming up. Five and six was kind of a crapshoot, but yeah, Frankie's in number five, and I hope he gets off that tee, man. I hope I didn't just jinx him.
Yeah, he's got an interesting case this weekend. So he's a 15, so he's right in that sweet spot too, where
yeah,
you kind of The 14, 15, 16 is a gray area with this broad of scores, but he's definitely got a chance.
What was his last three scores? Do you have them?
Yeah, so he went 88, 96, 92.
Okay. So, credit,
I know none of you guys believe in this, but he has been practicing.
You know, what do you mean we don't believe in this?
None of you practice.
We don't have fucking all day to just do that, all right?
You see Frankie set up in the basement? That's legit, all right? You can do that.
That's at home. All of us got to go out to work like that's normal practicing. And fucking, yeah. It is.
No, but he and he's we talked about a couple things with the swing, and I think he might be fine at something. So
that's good. I'm glad. I'm hoping. Like I said, he's in a comfy pairing. He's with me, or he's riding with Hammy, and he's with me and Brett. So the only person he doesn't know in that is Brett. So
his
should be fun to see.
His biggest problem is he is the content king, so he's going to be He's going to be videoing. Yeah. So.
Do we even
want him to think he has a shot? Do we just tell him right now he has no chance and he should just be getting footage?
No, because I hope he doesn't. I hope we don't have a good of like if our video struggles because he's playing well, that I'm not going to hold it against him. I want everybody to play well, and I'd love to see him play well, especially the first time coming out. So
that's smart coming from the board.
Yeah, we're still going to get good footage with or without him. And I hope that he's grinding and I hope we're both, I hope all of us are in the final round.
Yes. A lefties on the final round would be nice. So
it would be wild. Yeah.
We got three of us in the top five in our power rankings. There's no bias there. Absolutely zero bias. But
that's probably arguable. so yeah, you want to take the next one?
Yeah. Number six, Mark Lyon, the complete X factor in the sense of, What sort of mental space is Mark going to be in?
Yes, he is.
I've heard some horror stories. I don't want to bring anything up, but I will be playing with both brothers, which I don't think is the comfiest pairing for Mark, I'm hearing.
That's what I've heard. It's like I said, it's well documented in the Candlewood League. We touched on it. Didn't really throw him under the bus in the recap, but he did have a little mental lapse, and had a huge lead going into Saturday, and Dave just Mark just lost it apparently, and yeah. Dave didn't really do anything special, so I know that's gonna be there, and I know he's been working really really hard to get into a good mental space. When it comes to 3-foot putts and just his game in general, his last three scores are pretty good.
Yeah,
that's why I had a hard time putting him in the six, just because his
upside is very high.
Yeah, he did shoot an 88 this year with us.
He is a 94 in the last three. He's gotten a 99, so that's two rounds under 100 right there.
Exactly. So he's a 23, I think.
Yep, he's a 23.
So, yeah, shooting under 100 twice and really I know he's been listening to a podcast as well on the mental side and then is taking notes from another great episode from another podcast that we did. So good luck to Mark. He's rounding out the six. I don't know. His game is so – it can be so strong. He's scary. He's just as scary as anybody else.
Yeah. The only reason he's in that spot is, like you said, it's the pressure aspect of the
season. Yeah.
And as Vegas, as power rankings officials, we just couldn't look past it. But we hope that he overcomes that and is in the top three.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a lot. This is kind of been trying to get him in since after the baby was born and just hasn't happened. So he's got to be amped up to be here and then to try and pull something off is good. It's going to be a lot of pressure. So we'll see how he handles it. I hope, like I said, I'm not rooting against anybody except for Brett. Because it's going to be a positive Masters as long as he doesn't win.
For sure.
But really cool to see Mark just do well in his first appearance and handle the pressure a little bit better. I don't think he has to win per se, but I think he has to compete and just not not blow up like that horrible, the massacre.
So, quick note as we go on to our seventh player. Out of the bottom four ranked players, only one of them is an original Masters member. And that's our next contestant, Brian Hamilton. Hammy takes up the number seven spot with I wouldn't exactly call it momentum going into this weekend, but he did. Did he play well in the scramble or shamble?
He said he was playing lights out, hitting drivers farther than ever.
That's right.
He had a couple chipping woes on a couple holes, but he said all around he was just absolutely firing. So that's scary.
He hit the putter rolling too.
That's the best part about his game. He's one of the best putters out of all of us. Probably the most consistent for sure. And when he gets it rolling, he literally can just pour it into the hole. And if he plays well, I've been saying, any of us play well, we're going to be in contention. So it'll be interesting to see how he does, how he handles playing his own ball off the tee. I know they used a bunch of him and Brett's in the shamble. He did send us right before this podcast. I had asked him about his last three scores, and I told him that we were doing a power ranking. And I have to read this. He gave us like a little bit of bio of himself. It says the heaviest competitor in Masters history. He's talking weight. He was born in Georgia. He's been able to maintain and protect his amateur golf status for an unfathomable 22 years. That's I'm sure talking about his handicap. A couple fun facts. He loves to hit upside down clubs left-handed out of hazards. He hits driver off the deck in a pinch and putting with a hybrid or three wood out of the rough. He loves to do that. He says here he maintains a club deal with Callaway family and Ping. Irons, wedges, driver all Callaway with an Odyssey putter in the fam. He's rocking a Ping hybrid and a three wood, and he's currently playing the TaylorMade TPX Pix balls, averaging three new balls around. So, judging on that, that his own bio that he wrote, that rounds him into the seventh spot of the power rankings. I know we've said it in the past. In a four-man tournament, he hasn't finished higher than third. So he's lucky he's not eight, honestly.
He's so lucky that Shaw took a leave of absence from golf.
Yeah. If Shaw played maybe one time in the past month, Hammy probably would have been number eight.
But he's not. And for but that, he's not. Got
Brian, you are in the seventh spot, and we love you to death. And that rounds out our – eighth player is Chris Shaw. He was one of the guys that got invited and then got his invitation revoked. He hasn't played in 4 weeks. His last three scores were astronomically high. Not like him. He's playing, I think, as a 15, what is it?
14-6, so probably 15.
15, yeah. So yeah, if he shoots in the 90s with that handicap, it's not going to work out for him, but I'm sure he's happy to be here. He was just at training for canine training, and he sent me a picture, and all, like, his arms and everything are just mangled from the dogs biting.
Yeah, they take the German Shepherds, they suit the guys up, so Shaw was probably in, like, that big suit, and he's got big sleeves with padding on his arms, and they train the German Shepherds like when to attack and when to bite and everything, and his arms look destroyed.
Yeah, they looked like four times bigger than they should be. So hopefully he can even swing. I know he's very excited to be here, and just as everybody is, and leading up into this prestigious tournament. But like I said, I haven't played with him. He is actually paired with Mark. And in your group, so comfy pairing for him. They play all the time and ride together and walk together. So we'll see how that goes. It'll be interesting to see. Be funny if he just came out and was firing from not playing. He's also playing Thursday with Dave. at Fairview. So I said it before, screw you both. I hope it rains. So yeah, that wraps up the power rankings. I think we put too much thought into this. It's very well-rounded, and shout out to everybody that helped out. We're going to wrap this episode up. We do have interviews with every single one of these guys. It's a great way to get to know everybody before all this content rolls out. I know we talked about a lot of the guys and kind of painted a picture for everybody, but you really get to know everybody and their personalities. It's funny to hear Hammy talk about stuff, and you get to hear about Frankie's head case issues. Mark talks about his mental stuff. Dave has a swagger to him that really, it's just unsettling, because I feel like he thinks he's just going to steamroll this year. And Brett is just a poised Masters champ. So definitely check that out. We're going to drop that episode on Thursday of this week, leading up into everything. You got anything else?
Yeah, check out the giveaway on the Instagram page. Definitely check that out. We're going to be giving away some awesome head covers, box of balls, a poker chip. And then, yeah, just keep up with the IG page. We're going to be pumping out a ton of content. We got a lot of big things set up. We're gonna make a pretty cool YouTube video out of this whole thing. So yeah, just stay on the lookout. But what a blast it was interviewing these dudes. I was crying at some point. Yeah. There are some extremely funny points. So we're gonna release them in the power rankings order. Definitely.
Yeah, so it's gonna skip. It'll skip 3 and 4, obviously, with us. You just heard our own interview. So it'll go Brett, Dave, Frankie, Mark Shaw, Hammy, or Mark Hammy Shaw. Sorry. They're great. They're what is it, like 7 or 8 minutes a piece?
They're quick. They're seven and a half minutes each. You'll rip through them.
Definitely go check it out. It's just more. It's just a special week, and we needed an extra day to get this all done. So
that's it.
All right, man. Well, the next time I see you, we're going to be battling for the first time.
Finally.
Yeah. I can't wait to see what happens.
Let's go.
All right, man.